grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. As I thought this past week, about these words from St. Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome, there kept coming to mind some words from his second letter to the Christians in Corinth, and the words are these. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. I kept thinking about these words because apart from the truth expressed in these words addressed to the Corinthians, Paul's words addressed to the Romans would be meaningless. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Now, it's no secret that we live in a time when even within the visible church, the consciousness of what finally matters, what matters in the end, what matters at last, has become vague indeed, and has in many places been lost completely. And this vagueness and this loss is most certainly no new thing. Already more than 200 years ago, at the time of the 300th anniversary of the Reformation in the year 1817, Pastor Klaus Harms observed that whereas at the time of the Reformation people were at least willing to spend money to get rid of their sins, in his own day the sale of indulgences would be a very poor business, because there were so very few consciences troubled by sin, aware of the truth that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Each one of us, you and I, and every human being who has ever lived, every human being who now lives, and every human being who will ever live, must in the end appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, whatever may have been the errors and the abuses and the evils of the Middle Ages, the people of that time had not lost sight of this truth. And the evidence for that is, of course, massive. But who can forget the words in that great hymn about the Last Judgment? Oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth. What shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding when the just are mercy needing? Its consciousness did not end with the Middle Ages. Luther's whole struggle was waged in the consciousness of his accountability to the eternal judge, the Lord of life and death, and that consciousness continued for many, many years. In late July of the year 1750, as the great church musician J.S. Bach lay dying, he still somehow managed to dictate an exquisite choral prelude for a hymn which reads, "Before your throne I now appear. Bow down your gracious ear to me, and cast not from before your face your sinful child who prays for grace." As we gather here in God's house on this fourth Lord's Day of the year of our Lord 2022, it goes without saying that we each bring with us many concerns. Some of them are our own very personal concern, perhaps even concerns we may not want even our nearest and dearest to know about. And then there are the concerns we all share. I need not name them now, since we all know what they are. But our greatest concern, the concern that finally matters, is the concern of those who know that the Lord God is our Maker, and that because He is our Maker, we are accountable to Him for our every breath. St. Paul knew that he, like every child of Adam, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is why he could write, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Paul never ceased to marvel at Christ's mercy to him who had lived as Christ's sworn enemy. Paul knew that he could not make a case for himself, but how he rejoiced that in his astonishing mercy, the eternal Son of God had become flesh and taken his place under the judgment of God for his sake and in his stead, and suffered the just judgment of God on every last sinner. Paul writes to Timothy, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, one who speaks on our behalf before the judgment seat of God, our merciful Savior, who has done and suffered all that needed to be done. He alone is the righteous one, and we make his righteousness ours through simple trust in his mercy. Apart from him, we are lost and condemned. Our only claim on God is the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ which is the cleansing power of the baptismal waters. The blood and the body once nailed to the cross, given now at this altar. In ourselves, we are unworthy, but we place our whole trust and confidence in Christ, saying as we come to the altar, as did the Roman centurion, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and I shall be healed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.